ordered 1.1 million residents in the northern part of Gaza to move south. Of course, not clear if they could ever return. Can you talk about this?
Let me tell you about my 88-year-old grandmother who lives in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. She's frail, she's old, and she's ill. She was sleeping in her bed when an Israeli bomb hit the neighborhood where she lives. And she was injured by shrapnel and glass. My cousin, who was taking care of her, had to carry her on his shoulders and run down the stairs, run across the neighborhood as the bombs were falling, carrying a frail 88-year-old grandmother who witnessed more than 8 or 9 wars so far since she was born. Her entire life has been defined by war, by bloodshed, by aggression, by losing loved ones. So I think this entire narrative about North versus South, safe versus unsafe, is nothing but a false narrative that I think we should resist and we should not accept. Nowhere in Gaza is safe. Hundreds of people have been killed and lost their lives, regardless of where they reside. That's why we need a ceasefire now, and this is the demand by Palestinians from Gaza, whether they live in northern Gaza or southern Gaza.
Jihad Abu Salim of the Jerusalem Fund is in Washington as he talks to us. We have just been joined on the phone by Raji Sarani, who put this message out after Israel bombed his home in Gaza City. He said, "By a miracle, I survived with my family. My house destroyed tonight by an Israeli bombing at 8:25 p.m. The area I'm living in, Gaza City, Tal al-Hawa, was subject to bombing for almost 2 hours by F-16 rockets. I live with my beloved wife and son. The two longest hours and the most horrific time in my life where the three of us sure were not going to survive, and we will surely die. In any coming bomb, we hear the F-16, we hear the rocket launch roaring and the explosion, whom for 25 consecutive times thinking will take our life." Raji Sarani, we have just reached in Gaza. Can you hear us? Raji Sarani is the award-winning human rights lawyer and director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza. Hi, Raji. We can hear you as well. Can you tell us what happened? People all over the world expressing concern, as you are a renowned human rights attorney with your family, not knowing what had happened. What happened?
I think the world should be worried about the crimes going on against Palestinian civilians who are for the 18th consecutive day in the eye of the storm. They are the target. They are the target of the F-16s, of the cannons, of the gunships, day and night, 25 hours a day. They almost destroyed. They destroyed Gaza. I mean, it's unbelievable. This army targeting only civilians and civilian targets, towers, houses, hospitals, churches, mosques, schools, shelter places, ambulances, nurses, doctors, journalists. This is the most ethical army. This is the most ethical army in the world. This is the mighty Israel. Its might and power targeting civilians. They are doing war crimes, crimes against humanity, persecution for 2.4 million people for the last 18 days. Unfortunately, this colonial racist West supporting them by all ways and means. They are supporting them with money, with guns, with aeroplanes, with all what they need to do this crime. They are complicit by supporting them politically and militarily and politically. It's shame this is happening in the 21st century while these war crimes, no secret in it. It's broadcasted live on air and the entire world sees it. And the ICC prosecutor who issued warrants against Putin because he committed war crimes against civilians, because he invaded and made occupation to Ukraine. And here we have this prolonged military occupation. We have prolonged blockade, which is criminal, suffocated people here. We have five consecutive wars, and this is the sixth. And he is doing nothing. He's doing nothing except, you know, freezing the investigation of the war crimes committed by Israel and the Israeli army.
Raja, you're talking about the you're talking about the International Criminal Court prosecutor, Karim Khan?
Yes. Yes. He's complicit. He's selectively dealing with Rome Statute, with the investigation, and he's politicizing International Criminal Court. Shame on him. He didn't say one statement since day one till this moment. He should be the backbone of the victims who are suffering in this part of the world. And he sees that, and he knows that, and he received reports about that, and he's doing nothing. So U.S. and Mr. Biden, I'm saying to him, you are complicit. You are part of these crimes because you are allowing with your arms civilians to be targeted and killed. We have almost 1,200 people for almost 2 weeks under the wreckage and under the destroyed houses, unable to be recovered. We have 67 families deleted, don't exist anymore, because 20, 25, 30 of them has been killed in 1 second. We have churches targeted, and people died in it. We have most people sheltered in it, and they were killed. Why you are allowing this to happen? Why you are being, watching, supporting Israel? Israel right of defense, or it should be protecting civilians at the time of war? IHL, International Humanitarian Law and the Human Rights, Rome Statute, it's there.
Raji.
Simply, Amy, protect civilians at the time of war. And nobody protecting us. We are the target of the Israeli army. They want to evict Gaza and create a new Nakba. They don't want anybody in Gaza. They want us to leave. We are not leaving. We are the stones of the valley. We have been here since ever, and we will continue forever. We will not be part of the Israeli plan to evacuate Gaza.
Raji, if you can tell us what happened to your own family. When was your house bombed? And were you dug out from the rubble?
I'm living in Rimal area, Tell El Hawad, the nicest place in Gaza. I have my own villa, and it's nice, with very nice garden. It's two stories building. It's me and my wife, Amal, and my son, Basil. And we were like everybody, I mean, you know, at our home, you know, watching what's going on. And out of the blue, the bombing began in our area. Nothing special, nothing unique, nothing consists danger. Otherwise, my sense will tell me, I mean, you know, I have to leave. Or I will ask my wife and son, I mean, at least to leave.
But there is nothing, I mean, at that part. It's entirely civilian, and I can tell, and I had already the reasons, I mean, to say that. And I have, the bombing began, and we thought, yes, I mean, this might be one bomb here or there. But it was very close. And the second, and then we began to realize and feel, you know, there is something big wrong, I mean, happening. Because sound getting closer, closer and closer. We were holding, I mean, we were not thinking or realizing that we are going to survive. That's not easy. And I was thinking of a lot of things, I mean, in my life, how I didn't, you know, really leave like everybody leave. Should I leave or should I stay? Why we moved just in that place 2 minutes before a rocket of F-16, GBU-38 hit. And I felt the heat of the flame, and I saw the ball of fire. And every time, especially this one, I thought it's our end. And this was last one, I mean, when they hit directly to my house. And the house was literally destroyed. Lucky enough, I just moved from the place where we are staying upon the request of my son to one tiny corridor inside the house. And if we were where we were, we are gone. We are gone. So we waited almost half an hour, unable to speak any word, unable to do anything. And we were really, I mean, a state of human shock. And I waited till, you know, there was some sirena of ambulances remotely. And that means usually the bombing stopped and they get the green line to come in. Then we began to find our way out. But it was rather mission impossible. And we were lucky, I mean, you know, to get out. And when we get out of the place, we just moved to my brother's house, which is like 800 meters away from the place we are staying. This happened on the 18th. But since then till today, I can assure you one thing. That the entire area of Tal el Hawa completely abolished almost. Two-thirds of it doesn't exist. This really beautiful area of Gaza doesn't exist anymore. So we survived. We were lucky. But our neighbors, I mean, they lost 29 members. Habu's family. And others, and others, and others, and others, and others. We are collecting data. We are collecting information. This is unprecedented. I never, ever thought in my life civilians can be the target of war. They are mad with Hamas. Hamas insulted them, insulted their intelligence, insulted their military. We can understand that. In 2 hours, they were able to destroy this security wall, which U.S. took it as a standard, and many other countries, and they destroyed it in 15 minutes. And they were able to enter. And they took over 11 military strongholds of Israel, and they killed and captured many of them, and they get back to them in Gaza, and we can understand why they are angry with them. And they took the headquarters of Gaza commandment of the Israeli military army, and they arrested general, colonel, and others, and they brought them into Gaza. Israel has the right to be angry, absolutely angry, because Hamas showed their intelligence and their military capability means nothing. And they destroyed this illusion in 2 hours. But why? They are revenging from us. They should revenge from Hamas. Hamas is still, I can assure you, function like a Swiss watch in Gaza. And they are not affected. I can tell that. I can see that. We feel that. They are unable to minimize their power. They are unable to silence them. They are unable to allocate where their soldiers are, whom were taken as prisoners of war. They are unable to do anything for them. That's why they are revenging from us. This is the shame on the army. I mean, there is rules of engagement between the army, between the resistance movement and any army. But why civilians are the target? This is the big question. This is shame. This is happening, to us. And I'm telling
Raji,
you the reason they want to. Yes.
I want to ask you, the leaflets that were dropped this weekend on Gaza, addressed to residents of Gaza, reading, urgent warning to the residents of Gaza, your presence north of Wadi Gaza is putting your lives at risk. Anyone who chooses not to evacuate from the north of the Gaza Strip to the south of the Gaza Strip may be identified as a partner in a terrorist organization. These on leaflets, I don't know if you saw these leaflets, but you have made a decision with your family not to move south. Can you respond to what they're saying, that anyone who chooses not to evacuate may be identified as a partner in a terrorist organization?
We have been here since ever, and we will stay forever. And no power on earth will take me from here. We are the stones of the valley. They have to understand that. And even if they destroyed once and again houses on our head, even if they took our life, we are not moving anymore. Simply, we suffered from the Nakba 75 years. They committed massacres. They killed thousands of Palestinians. They pushed us out. And now it's time for us not to do that again, at least willingly. We cannot be part of Mr. Bibi plan to evacuate Gaza. He said it from a written statement in a press conference, day one, Gazans should leave Gaza. Where to? Where to? If anybody should leave, people like Mr. Bibi, not us. Enough for the occupation. We want dignity, freedom, end of this belligerent criminal occupation. Now people from south of Gaza began to come back to north in thousands because there is no safe haven in Gaza, no safe place in Gaza, and we are not going to be a tool in the hand of racist, criminal, rightist Israeli prime minister. No way. We are not going to do that. We are going to stay in Gaza.
Raju Sarani, I want to thank you so much for taking this call. Human rights attorney, director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza, recipient of the Right Livelihood Award, as well as the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award. Please be safe. I know that is extremely difficult with now the death toll at 5,000. Raji has chosen to stay in Gaza City near his home. People should go to our interviews with Raji over these last 2 weeks, of course, and beyond before that. I also want to thank Jihad Abu Salim, scholar and analyst from Gaza, executive director of the Jerusalem Fund. Thank you so much both for being with us. Next up, do not use our death and our pain to bring death and pain of other people and other families. The message of Noy Katzman about their brother Chaim, an Israeli peace activist killed in the Hamas attack. We'll speak with Noy, as he says, not in my name, not in my brother's name. Stay with us. Final Songs by Latrio Gibran. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. My call to my government, stop killing people. That's the message Noy Katzman recently gave during a eulogy for their brother Chaim Katzman, an Israeli peace activist who was killed during the Hamas attack October 7th that killed 1,400 people. Israel now says 222 hostages are still being held in Gaza after two were released Friday. Chaim Katzman was an academic, a peace activist, a tender of fruit trees in the Cholit kibbutz, about a mile from Gaza. He was credited with saving the lives of three of his neighbors on October 7th. We spoke to his Seattle, Washington rabbi just last week, because Chaim was a graduate student at the University of Washington. We're joined now by Noy Katzman, who gave the eulogy for their brother. Noy, thank you so much for being with us from Vienna. Our deepest condolences to you and your family. If you can talk about Chaim's life, and now what's being done in his name and your thoughts on what should happen right now. I think the death toll, 1,400 Israelis from October 7th that time, and now more than 5,000 Palestinians, and the number increases even as this show airs.
You hear me?
We hear you perfectly.
Okay, so first of all, my brother was, so he did many things. He was also a car mechanic. He was a DJ. He was an brilliant academic. He also was a gardener. He was in charge also of the fruit trees and also of the gardens. Lately, he became in charge of the gardens in Cholit. And all of the things he did, he used for peace. He was a DJ, so he was a DJ of. He played almost entirely Arabic music from the Middle East, about Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt. He was a gardener, and he volunteered in Rahat, in the garden. Rahat is a Bedouin city in the south of Israel near Be'er Sheva. And he also he was a volunteer in Misafer Yatta, where Palestinians are suffering from displacement and terror from Israel, from settlers and soldiers. So he would go there and help them, protect them, and use his knowledge of the car mechanic to fix the 4x4 car of the volunteers. And as an academic, his research was about right-wing and right-wing in Israel and the dangers of right-wing in Israel, extreme right-wing. His thesis was in Rabbi Ginsburg, and then his doctorate he wrote about religious Zionism, where it's my family that we came from.
Noy, can you talk about what Israel is doing now? The constant bombardment of the Gaza Strip, forcing the dislocation of half the population, and what looks like an imminent ground invasion as a response to the brutality of Hamas on October 7th. Your thoughts and what you think your brother would have felt.
Okay, so I think the most thing that is bothering me is the lack of responsibility that governments in Israel are taking for many, many years. We can start it from 67 when Israel conquered Gaza Strip and, of course, didn't give the citizens any citizenship or any rights. It was just a thought that, you know, Palestinians don't need rights. I mean, they don't need basic rights. They'll be happy to be under our control. And sadly, but in 1987, so the uprising of the First Intifada, of course, proved that to be wrong. Because Palestinians are also people, just like Jews and Israelis, and they want the same things like people, human beings, want. Sadly, I don't think Israel is taking responsibility of anything. I mean, in 2005, we got out of Gaza and we're like, okay, I mean, we just throw it like we were never connected to it. And like, okay, let's just let them. Like, no long process agreement, sustainable agreement. And sadly, after that, in the 10, 15 years, Israel is doing everything to strengthen Hamas in Gaza, just because it doesn't want a two-state solution. So it wants to divide between the Fatah and the Hamas. So this, of course, failed, because also the Hamas is very terrible to the people in Gaza, especially LGBTs and women, which always suffer from right-wing religious government. And at the end, it, of course, came to us, because we can put Gaza behind fences or whatever, but then the right-wing extremists of Hamas killed Israelis indiscriminately, civilians, and also my left brother, who, of course, it very makes sense, you know, that right-wing kill right-wing left-wing people, because they just don't care. They earn from the hate. They earn from the death.
We just have about 30 seconds, and I wanted to ask you to tell us your message to the world today.
Okay, so what Israel is doing now is very clearly not in the, it's not for the security of anyone, not the people in Israel, not the people of Gaza. Some people say, oh, it's Israel's, it's for the good of Gaza people because we're going to destroy Hamas. If it's not the case, so I think Israel should make sure all the citizens of Israel, of Gaza, should have a safe place to be and maybe kill Hamas. But I don't think it's the real reason. The real reason is just revenge and killing and destruction of the failure of Israel to protect its citizens.
Noy Katzman, we're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you so much. And again, condolences on the death of your brother, Chaim, which in Hebrew means life. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of CanadaLand, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
Dear listener,